23 years ago, there were no women farmers in Australia, officially. In 1994, they were still classified in the census as domestics or helpmates or farmers' wives. And according to Mary Stewart, who chairs Her Place Women's Museum, there are more statues in Australia that honour animals than women. She says women of the land shouldn't have to sit on a tucker box to get noticed, which is why the Invisible Farmer Project has been gathering the stories of rural women, past and present, to bring them to public notice. Michael McKenzie was at the opening of the Invisible Farmer exhibition and meeting four women to talk about their relationship to the land and the sea.
I'm Amy.
I'm Kirsten.
Hi, Kirsten. Oh, sorry,
how are you?
Good.
Do you want to do it combined or do you want me to come back?
Why not? Let's do it combined. That'd be
okay.
Fun. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay.
What sort of farming are you?
I'm not. I'm in fishing.
Oh, okay.
Hi, my name is Kirsten Abernethy and I work in the Victorian fishing industry.
Hello, I'm Amy Pohl. I'm a certified organic egg farmer from South Gippsland in Walkerville.
Did you always think you would end up being someone intrinsically involved in the fishing industry?
No, I didn't think that at all. Like, I would have started, like, I've always loved fishing, I've always loved the sea. My family are not necessarily the most outdoorsy people, but I went back to university and that's when I got on my first fishing boat, and from that moment I've never looked back, and so it's been 15 years. I can't see me doing anything else. My partner's an ab diver. I go deckhanding. It's my favourite job to actually be on the boat.
What is it about being on deck?
I think it's just sort of being part of nature and just the sense of peace and the sense of quiet that you get when you're away from the land, you're away from your mobile phone, you're away from that bill that you have to pay, you know, and all those responsibilities, and all you're doing is, for me, I just measure abalone and put them in boxes, and an 8-hour day just sort of flies by and I'm happy and tired at the end of it, and yeah, it's hard to describe, but it's one of those things that I think is just part of me. Yeah.
Amy, were you always going to be an organic chook farmer?
Absolutely not. I just really loved that story too.
That's
that
was
gorgeous.
Story, yeah.
No, absolutely not. I wasn't raised in an agriculturally based family. I was raised in Northern California. I went to university studying genetics, beef genetics, and my husband and I are both from commercial sort of beef background in terms of our first beginnings. So, but for us, organic chooks was what we could make as a new couple and a young farming family that's not come from land or come from a financial base to buy land. That was our way in. I certainly didn't think that we would be organic chook farmers, but yeah, we still are involved with beef as well. Yeah.
So you went to the white meat having studied the red meat and now you're going back to the red.
It's not about the meat, it's about the eggs.
Ah, nicely said, nicely said.
I had a phone call one afternoon from Catherine Ford, who's the creator of this project, or one of the creators of this project, and I had no idea what I was putting my hand up for. Hello, I'm Sally Jones and I'm the co-founder of Gippsland Jersey and part of this incredible museum project called Invisible Farmer. I had a pretty unconventional upbringing. I have two sisters and a brother, and we had a dairy farm in Lakes Entrance where we milked cows, and we also then turned that into ice cream because my dad always believed that you could never make money by supplying a milk company. We also then had ice cream shops, so it was very much like we were kids in candy shops every single day. I ate ice cream for my whole entire life of my childhood and adulthood. 12 months ago, my dad, unbeknownst to us, was suffering some mental health issues, and he did take his own life by suiciding on our farm, and it completely shattered myself and my family. And I did, on that day, very much have a lioness moment, and I thought, it is time for me to step up and I have to do something here. A few months later, the dairy crisis happened. When that happened, people were asking us via our social media page, what milk can we buy that is farmer owned? You know, what milk? We want to support our own local dairy farmers. And we had no reply because there is no farmer owned milk brand in Gippsland, even though the region is one of the biggest dairying regions in Australia. So we've started a brand and we've now bought on our second farm. And it's very much, you know, every day I think of my dad and I think he would be so proud right now because you know what, he hated, you know, that injustice, and he was always just never afraid to have a crack at something either.
If we look at women in the Australian seafood industry, we make up more than 50% of the people who work in the industry. There's definitely women catching fish, and some amazing women catching fish, very brave women. But I think the real important role that they play is in that making that connection to the consumer, so the consumer can understand, you know, the beautiful produce that we have here. So while we might not always be on the sea, we're taking care of the businesses, we're in wholesale, retail, all the way along the supply chain. So women are a key part, but we don't hear very much from them, unfortunately, and it would be great to have a greater voice and a greater visibility for these amazing women.
Well, let's compare that, Amy. In the poultry industry, how visible are women?
Women are pretty visible, yeah. It was funny when I started on the Invisible Farmer Project, my husband said, you're not the invisible one, you're the one at the forefront of it all. He's definitely the guts on the farm, but women are constantly doing the marketing and the logistics and all those different things, as well as the day-to-day jobs on the farm as well, and raising families. So our children are out on the farm constantly with us. They're always involved in the business, and I'm always involved in the business, but it's the glue. The women are often the glue that keep everything together.
On boards, in committees, those sorts of places, women only make up 5%.
Well, historically, if you look at that exhibition in there, that's pretty much been the case in any farming sector.
Yeah. I think with farming, it's been a little bit more successful in being able to raise the profile and make sure women are in positions of decision making. But in fishing, I feel like we're just starting to get there because we have a different perspective. Mm. And when you bring a different perspective, then you solve problems better and you increase your productivity. We know that that's what diversity brings. I'm really excited to try and get my teeth into that.
Hello there, I'm Annie Faye Carter, a Yorta Yorta Jajarung senior elder. And as you get older, the respect of being called auntie or uncle is very much there in our community. I feel very privileged to be asked to participate. Got quite a surprise about that. But, you know, just listening to women who live on the land and are women farmers, that really sounded great to me. I don't live on the land. I live in the city. Used to live on country. Mm-hmm. I grew up on a fringe dwelling country. My mother was living on the Cumgrunta Mission when I was ready to be born. Mm-hmm. And in those days, the old aunties brought children into the world. But if there was any medical problems, and I always tell this story because I think it's important for people to know. My mother did have medical problems, was taken into the Echuca Hospital. Later on, as I grew up, she took me to the hospital and showed me the spot where I was born, which was on the veranda, because they didn't take Aboriginal women into the wards with the non-Aboriginal mothers. She didn't think there was anything wrong with that, but I certainly did. And of course, I wasn't the only baby born that way. Many babies were born on verandas all over.
Farmers who are here today, make their way briefly over in front of the windmills because we'd like to get a photograph of you all together.
When you walk out in country, it's so different to sitting in a meeting room because you feel as though you're walking in your ancestors' footsteps, and it gives you a wonderful spiritual feeling. You can close your eyes and you can almost see them getting their tools ready. Yeah. When I was listening to some of the speakers there, and I'm thinking, well, women in our community, you couldn't refer to them as farmers, but they're carers, which is really important, isn't it? And a lot of women are involved in caring for country with the different programs that are being developed now on country. And Jajarung are certainly leading the way. They're developing a country plan at the moment, and that country plan allows us to go back onto country and put things in place to heal the country. And the firing, the cultural burning, and then they're looking at revegetating food plants back into the landscape and medicinal plants that have been damaged and taken away.
Well,
that's farming, isn't it?
That I was going to say, that's exactly what farming's all about, isn't
yes,
it?
That's yes. right, yes.
Sally, were you always intending to move into a leadership role within the family when it came to the farm?
No. I would never thought that I would have to step up like this. But, you know, life takes you on journeys and that you never think you will go, paths that you never think you'll go down. And I guess it's how, you know, situations happen in your life and it's how you choose to respond to those situations.
Well, the reason I ask that is, and you've said, no, I didn't expect, but I mean, was it always thought that you would eventually at some stage take over the reins of the farm for the family?
No, and we still haven't had that conversation.
Are you serious?
No, because it's only so new, and my mum obviously still lives on the farm with my brother, and my two other sisters have moved off farm, and I married a man who wouldn't know what end of the cow that the milk came out of. So we are still trying to work all that through as a family to decide what's going to happen with our farm. As our independent family unit, I don't know what we'll do.
Did it surprise you to learn historically that women farmers haven't been recognised as such until 1994?
No, because my mum and my nana never, you know, considered themselves as farmers, even though they were doing just as much work as my dad and my pop. And I have, you know, huge memories of them working incredibly hard, but they would never identify themselves as farmers.
Did you actually have a conversation about that?
No, we haven't. And it's just like, obviously through this project, like a lot of things have come to my mind. And I think, what? You know, what, women didn't have the opportunities and I just do it, you know? Like I don't think anything of it. And
you just get on with it.
I just get on with it. But in saying that, it's because of people like my mum and my nana who have instilled in me this, you know, work ethic and this ability to multitask and to make things happen. And, you know, I'm very thankful for those two women that have given me all this beautiful background to go on and do what I do. But I feel sad that, you know, their stories haven't been told and haven't been recognised. You know, like, I'm not even a quarter on what my mum is, you know, so she's incredible. She milked cows, we had a factory next to the dairy, we had the ice cream shops, she ran the books, she had four children, she homeschooled us. Incredible. And she's great.
Have you told her that?
No, but I think she'll probably hear this stuff now.
What about you? What's happening with you and family?
I have my partner who has two daughters. The oldest one, Bree, she's a spear fisher. She recently went to the world titles representing Australia. And the younger one, Zara, she's a very, very keen line fisherman. So she's, you know, she's out on the snapper at the minute and she's killing it.
So salt water is running through the veins?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, definitely salt water is running through the veins.
Voices of Kirsten Abernathy, Amy Paul, Auntie Faye Carter and Sally Jones, farming land and sea and caring for country. And their lives are part of The Invisible Farmer, currently on display as part of Museums Victoria. The project is national, and Michael McKenzie, there's more info plus some fab photos on the Life Matters website.
Yes, I've got some fantastic shots from Museums Victoria in situ with some of those people you just heard on the land or on the sea. But also I've got a great shot of all of the female farmers who turned up for the exhibition. So it's all there. Plus I've got some links there for you as well.